Yes. Are you all thankful for that extra hour of sleep last night? Praise God. Woot, woot. That was last night. Isn't that great? Well, praise God. Don't you like that, that your phone did it automatically? Well, praise the Lord. That's awesome. This morning, we're going to talk about walking in righteousness at 10 a.m. on Sunday morning. Whoop, whoop, whoop. Oh, Lord, help us to walk in righteousness. And that's why you are here this morning. You are walking in righteousness. Praise God. Praise God. Let's go ahead and pray. Well, thank you, Lord. We give you praise for today. We are your servants, and we are thankful to serve such a great and mighty God. We praise you. We thank you for your precious promises and your word of God. Teach us today, Lord, and touch us, Lord. Bless your word. Bless your servant in Jesus' precious name. Lord, we give you glory. Hallelujah. Praise God. You're so good. He's so good. Praise God. We're going to turn right to the word of God this morning, and we're going to read from the book of Psalms, chapter 1. Verses 1 through 6. So we're going to go to the book of Psalms, chapter 1, verses 1 through 6. And when you've got it, say, Amen. Amen. Praise God. Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly. I'm reading from the Spirit-Filled Life Bible this morning. I think it's pretty close to the King James. Nor stands in the path of sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law he meditates day and night. He shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that brings forth its fruit in its season, whose leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he does shall prosper. Praise God. Verse 4. The ungodly are not so, but are like the chaff which the wind drives away. Therefore, the ungodly shall not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. Verse 6. For the Lord knows the way of the righteous, but the way of the ungodly shall perish. Praise God. As we look in these scriptures, we also note that in the New Testament, Jesus says in Matthew 6:33, he says this, he says, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. We're told to seek his righteousness. So today, in talking about walking in righteousness and seeking righteousness, well, what is righteousness? What is it? Basically, the word comes from the Greek, and the translation means being righteous before God. And if you were to keep it real simple, because I think simple is really good, righteousness is putting God first in our lives before anything else, period. Praise God. And that means everything in our life, everything that we can see, right? Everything that we might possess or have, everything that we might feel, everything that we might think. It's more than just a little word, everything. It's just everything. So everything, it's right living. And praise God, that's what you all want and I want, because we're here this morning. We're here in Sunday school this morning. A beautiful definition of the principles of righteousness would be that righteousness is a composite of all that is good. Of all that is good, where we allow God to be in complete control. And then we can, I love it, we can live in righteousness. Praise God. The simplicity of this book and chapter 1 in the book of Psalms is basically that there is a right way and there is a wrong way to to live our lives. And with God, the great thing is that we have a choice. We get to choose. When I get up Sunday morning, I get to live right, or I'm not going to live right, and who knows where I might find myself. We make that choice to serve him, and we get to live before him. And I honestly think that we just have the applause of heaven the applause of heaven when we are living righteously and right. We have his immediate attention when we are living right. And he loves our faithfulness to him. He loves it. He loves when we live right before him. And so we are just like magnets to God when we are living right. Praise God. And one of the questions in the lesson was, who or what do you think of when you think of the word blessed? Because the righteous are blessed, we read in Psalms. So I was talking to Lonnie about it on the way here, and I said, so what do you think of, or who do you think of when you think of the word blessed? And he right away said, I think of Sister Nona Freeman. And I remember back, and we just were remembering about 1992 when I was at Christian Life College, she preached a message called Giving Blessings. And it was so powerful. We have a cassette of it. So we're going to try to see how we can, we've kept it all these years, to see how we can translate that into a CD or onto some kind of player to listen to again. But it was amazing, all of her journeys in Africa and how God blessed her life and her husband's, and blessed them in ways that kept them from immediate danger, also provided for them, and provided not just food and, yes, finances, but the simple things. Like for her, she had a very unique foot size, and to find shoes, it was very difficult, and to find the shoes that fit right, and to get one time, to get like 9 or 12 pairs of shoes at one time, it's that. If you have a unique shoe size, that's a miracle. And in Africa, and she would tell the story, and what it did, it just built our faith. We just listened to it. We're like, wow, goosebumps. We're like, wow, God, you did this because of living a life in servitude to God and loving him and putting him first. He did these great things in their lives, and they're miraculous things. So we thought of that this morning. Lonnie did. So when you think of that this morning, you think of who or what do you think of when you think of the word blessed? Anybody this morning, what do you think of? And you're going to read it, right? Praise God. Isaiah, you said Isaiah chapter 11, verse 2. Beautiful. Absolutely. What about people in the Bible that you think of that are and were blessed? Mary, exactly. I went right to Mary, too, because the angel said that she would be blessed and highly favored. And so we think of Mary in the Bible. Who else do you think of? One of our forefathers, Abraham. I thought of Abraham. Mary and Abraham were one of the first ones I thought of, that he would be blessed and his seed would be blessed and he would be basically a gift to the whole planet Earth, because he was the one where we have the fulfillment of Scripture through Abraham. Praise God. But even as when you think of, as a small child, we start learning about the principles of choosing to live right, which is right living or righteousness, right? Or we choose to do bad things and not live right. And then as we grow into adulthood, that transitions into choosing to live right before God, because we have a choice. Every day, we can look at other people in the Word of God and think, man, they're just powerful. They had the Holy Ghost from their birth. You know? Okay. But we have a choice. We have a choice, too. You know, some of them, yes, had the Holy Ghost from birth. But we, honestly, like John the Baptist, but we have a choice. And so that's a great thing. So true righteousness really is that life that's pleasing to God, and that's you here this morning, SPC. You are pleasing to God. You were in the Word of God this morning. You got up, drove the slippery roads, and you are here. Praise God. And it's a life that's lived in service to the ones that Jesus said in the New Testament, he referred to them as the least of these. We are living that life that is pleasing to God. And he said, you know, you do this unto the least of these. You've done it unto me. And who are the least of these? Those were those people that were vulnerable. In Jesus' day, it was the people that were disadvantaged. They may have been sick. They may have been poor, maybe mentally ill, physically not able to do things. But it's that life. And then James says it in the book of James. He says, caring for the orphans, the widows. It's a life focused on, Pastor hit on it again Thursday night. I was like, okay, that was my lesson for Sunday morning. So I was like, that was my lesson. But Christ's love, it's focusing on expressing his love through us. Yes, we are his ambassadors, his disciples. But what we are a voice. We are hands. We are feet to a world. We are the Jesus that some may never meet the Lord himself. But you know what? They're going to meet you. And you know what? You are the only Jesus that some will ever see. Think about that. Wow. Across all, and you know what? That love crosses all boundaries. Okay, we have lots in the news about whether it's race, or we could even say class, nationality, whether it's languages or education, it doesn't matter. It's all about opening up ourselves to love others like he loved us. Praise God. And you know what? In anything that we do, it's got to be done in the proper spirit. So yeah, we can say, get up. Yes, I'm going to live in righteousness today. I'm going to get in the Word of God. Yes, praise God. And those are really good things. But I just wanted to touch on something in this lesson that wasn't written in the lesson, but I felt in the Holy Ghost to share it. So here, I'm going to share it. In so many ways, this next step is probably the first step that we should always think about or concentrate on, is to receive any kind of blessings in living in righteousness. It's going to come first through our repentant soul, from our repentance of our sin to God. And I think we can agree upon that, honestly. One woman, I loved how she said this. She said that after coming to God, and I just want you to catch this. She said, I learned the first rule of repentance, that it requires greater intimacy with God than with my sin. Simple yet so profound, I thought, man, it's so good. And thinking about this lesson, I write notes in my phone. So through the week, if I get a thought, I just put it in my phone because I'll forget it. And then I put up my notes. So this is one of them, is unrepentant sins cause us not to be able to see and hear God. It does. We see this from the very beginning in the book of Genesis with Adam and Eve. They no longer, after sin, were able to have that fellowship that they once had with God. It was something that was lost. We could call it lost in Eden. I just made that up. Okay. So after repenting of our sin, there's something about it. And you know that feeling when you do repent of your sin. And it's not like we're out sinning, saints, but you know what? We live in a sinful world. We're humans. We have thoughts. We have opinions. There's something that's so amazing that once we do repent of our sin, that feeling of the Holy Ghost that washes over us, and it makes you clean. It makes your soul clean. It's like washing. We wash our dishes. We wash our cars. We wash our whatever you want to wash that's a piece of machinery. Imagine what washes my soul. You know, it's repentance. It's giving that to God. It cleans us. It creates this closeness that we could never have any other way. So it's just so beautiful. And then there's a caution for us that if we're not living in a repentance state, or basically, you know, repent every day, repent. If it's not a part of your routine, if it's not a part of you, there's a fear of becoming self-righteous rather than righteous. And we can become self-righteous. And there are beautiful people sitting on church pews today who are self-righteous. God help us. And that takes place when someone feels that they are superior or more morally superior to others. And you've probably heard that expression about describing someone, oh, they're just holier than thou. They're just, you know, that expression. But when we think that we are better, and I love the way I wrote this, than every other person on the face of God's lovely earth, those are, you know what? There is a danger there. There's a danger there, and not, it's a spiritual danger. It really is. Help us, Lord, to have humility and love. Humility and love. Because if the Lord was self-righteous towards us, where would we be? Right? We'd be in the stinking miry pit where we came from, in the dirty pit that we came from, crying out to God saying, help me, Lord. I can't stand my life. I hate it. I'm alone. Whatever it is. God help us. We are living this life for an eternal reward, and our reward is heaven. Praise God. And one day when that trumpet sounds, Brother Steve, Brother Levi, Sister Maria, you know what? We're going to be united, and it is going to be a glorious time, and we will be forever with the Lord, and that is what we're living for. God help us to remember that when we may choose to do something that we perhaps shouldn't, and it would cause us to live a life that wasn't righteous to the Lord anymore. Praise God. And some people go through life, they say, well, if you don't know what to do, don't do anything. And I think I've actually said that before, but you know what? It's not good counsel. When you don't know what to do, pray in the Spirit. God will give you direction. When you don't know what to do, open His Word and let those divinely God-breathed pages speak to your heart and soul, because they will. They will speak to your soul. So when you don't know what to do, don't just shove your head in the ground like an ostrich and think, okay, the weather's going to pass, this is going to pass, whatever. It will pass. But get in the Word of God. Pray in the Spirit, because you know what? God will give you direction. And I love that. I love that. We're like thinking, oh, this is a big trial, Lord. And we give it to Him. We pray in the Spirit. We go into the Word of God. And when your answer comes, don't say, oh, my word, I can't believe it. Because that's, you know, almost like I thought that's like someone, you know, some of the scriptures and examples of people in Scripture, like it happens. They're like, oh, it happened. Just expect it to happen. Expect that when you pray it and you give it to God, it will happen. Whether it happens that minute right after you pray, or the next day, or the next week, or the next month, or the next decade. Guess what, folks? Believe it. Keep it. Amen. Thinking about living right, you know what, is this. It's love. It is love. Thinking about living right. In 1 Corinthians, we're told that love is patient. Love is kind. Love does not envy. It is not boastful. It's not arrogant. It's not rude. It's not self-serving. Wow. It's not irritable, and it doesn't keep record. That's what love is. Guess what? That's what God is, and that's what we are called to be. That's exactly what we're called to be. I give you that example first because it's preferring your brother and sister. And how do you do that? You pray for them. You pray for God's blessing and God's favor, because you know what? You want them to be so blessed, because love is not, it's not envious of your brother and sister. It's not boastful towards them. It's not arrogant towards them. It's not rude. It's not self-serving. It's love. It's God's love. So when we pray for our brothers and sisters, we pray for them to excel. We pray for them to prosper, to be gifted. Lord, let them be the best teachers. Let them be the best preachers. Let them be the best soul winners. Let them be the best Bible studies teachers. Not that they don't have that opinion like, oh, they might be better than me. Who cares? They're working for the kingdom of God. Souls are being snatched from a hell where it's going to burn forever, for eternity. And God help us that our friends and family would ever go there. No. So that is why we pray for our brothers and sisters. We pray that they would be gifted, that they would grow in God's grace and the depths of his love. We want that for them. And you know what? In this type of love, there's no jealousy. There's no hatred. There's no despising. It's just love. It's care. It's concern. In fact, we as born again, water baptized, Holy Ghost filled saints of God, we should be the first ones to be able to forgive our brother and our sister, us. Say me. I should be the first one to forgive. Because what the enemy does is he targets the saints to put us against each other because he is evil and his deeds are evil. And so I challenge you, whenever the enemy starts to whisper, and God spoke to me about this a few weeks ago, if I hear something in my ear that is not pleasing about one of my brethren, and someone even talks about it, and it comes to my ear, I'm like, you know what? I shut the devil up immediately. Because you know what? He is the accuser of the brethren, and he wants division. He doesn't want unity. So put the devil in his place. So when the devil comes to you saying, my brother, my sister, whatever, shut him up immediately. Don't even give him a second, because he'll come in. Praise God. You give him a toehold. You just open your door just a little bit to, like, for that salesman. Oh, help you, Lord. Don't open the door. Don't open the door. It's when the devil comes in like that, shut him up, put him in his place. Don't allow him to be part of your right living, your righteousness. Go before God. Pray again. Pray. And pray, you know, that final authority in the Word of God, so that the way you see your brother and sister in the Lord, it will change in your eyes, in your mind's eye. When you pray for their blessing, for them to excel, for them to just be better, for them to grow in God's grace, your perception of your brother and sister is going to change. And you know what? You'll change the way you pray for them. You'll change the way you see them. And you know what? What happens when we pray for, okay, say your brother and sister's not your enemy now. They're just, okay, we're going to enemies now. What happens when you do pray for your brother or your sister or your enemy or someone who's offended you? And it's easy to do in a family, because we're family. It's easy to do in a family to be offended on occasion, right? Or get hurt. We pray for them, but what it does is it releases our feelings of hatred. It releases our feelings of bitterness. It releases our feelings of anger. It releases whatever ungodly feelings we have, it releases them. And you know what it does? We become more like him. And we love like he loves. Praise God. Isn't that what we want, saints? We want that. Praise God. So I pray for you. I love you. If I ever have a thought that is like not of God, of my brother or sister, in Jesus' name, as soon as that thought comes, in Jesus' name, it's taken care of. Because the enemy gets a foothold, and he will use it against you, use it against your sister, your brother. And I found this cute little, it's kind of like a little Pinterest post. It says, let God handle your enemies, you just keep praying for them. Let God handle your brothers and sisters, put in there whatever you want. Let God handle your family, put it in there, and you just keep praying for them. Praise God. We are on the eve of our fasting and prayer for Wynn, and I'm sure Pastor's going to just talk about that. But you know what? Let's choose to have a repentant heart going into this, where we have already forgiven our brother and our sister, and then love. Just love. Just love. Just let God's love wash over you. That you love your brother and sister the way he loves. And we should be able to do that. Praying in the Spirit, being in the Word of God. Praise God. Because you know what? Souls are going to come walking through that door. And they have been already. And you know what? If we don't love them like he loves us, they are on their way to a devil's hell. And it is our job. It is our responsibility. It's us to make sure that our house, our spiritual house, that's right here first, right here. The spiritual house is ready. And then collectively, we are ready. Because it's going to be like a birthing station. It's going to be like a midwifery. It's going to be like a hospital ER. It's going to be loud. It's going to be dirty. It's going to be emotional. It's going to be exhausting. But you know what? It's coming. Let us be ready now. God, help me to be ready because they're coming. Souls are coming and God is drawing by his Spirit. Praise God. Thank you, Lord, for drawing by your Spirit. Let us forgive freely. Just almost if you could just say, Lord, I just want to have a heart that forgives freely. And I think of the words to this song. I don't have to sing every song, but I think of songs a lot. When I was thinking of this lesson, I thought of this song. I want to live the way you want me to live. I want to give until there's just no more to give. I want to love just like there's no more love. I could never, never outlove the Lord. And that's how we should want to live and love. Because when we do that, we're growing in him. Praise God. Praise God. Freely forgive. And God will bless you beyond your wildest imaginations. And we could say together, I know you're smiling at me, but you could smile at your neighbor and say, I will forgive. I will forgive. It's almost like an accountability thing. I will forgive. praise God. This is a true story. And I won't say where I found it from. But so this sweet lady tells a story of how for more than a half a century, so over 50, I would say 60 years, she had no relationship with her sister. She wouldn't even speak to her. Their families didn't do anything together. And it was close to the end of her life, and she finally broke down and called her sister, and they talked. And they spoke guarded at first, but they got to the root cause of this no break in relationship, and you will never believe what it was. I'll tell you that it all boiled down to one lollipop, and I'm not kidding. When she was a young girl, she was not supposed to be climbing trees, and so she was climbing trees, and she fell out of the tree, and she fell onto her jaw, and her mom didn't know when she came inside. Of course, you're not supposed to be climbing trees, and then, okay, her mother's like, how do I evaluate if she broke her jaw? So her mother handed her a lollipop and said, here, I want you to suck on this and this, let's see if it makes you feel better. She wanted to see if she broke her jaw. Well, she knew she couldn't suck on it because she knew she had done some damage. Her mama said, if you don't suck on that lollipop, I'm going to give it to your sister. Okay, so right then and there, she said, something inside of her clicked, and through her life as a child, she said she grew up as a teenager, and she said there was always something between her and her sister. If there wasn't, she thought there was something. There was always something. And she said she knew that from that moment it was that lollipop, but she did not forgive her sister. She blamed her sister for thinking that she was going to get the lollipop, and she found out later, through this conversation, that her mama didn't give her the lollipop. She saved it for her, but she didn't know that. She just had gone to her bedroom and cried and whatever else, and she was hurting. She fell out of a tree. She said, I wish I'd forgiven my sister years ago. I wish I never let a seed of any kind of unforgiveness grow in my heart, because it was like 50 or 60 years. They had no relationship, nothing. Their families didn't even do anything together. And it was a grudge that she held for all those years. And she said when they talked about it, she said, I forgive you. And I'm so sorry that I kept that. It all started with something very small. And it grew and it created something that was very bad for her spiritually. She didn't even go to church at that time. We don't have to wait. Church, we don't have to wait to forgive people. We don't have to wait until it becomes bigger than a tiny little thing. Let's kill those little thoughts when they first come. Plead the blood of Jesus over them. There's a doctor. His name is Ira Byock, and he wrote a book, and it's called The Four Things That Matter Most. If you've worked in palliative care, you've probably heard of this doctor and his basic, I would say, theology. But he basically would help people that were going in to see their loved ones for the last time. And their loved ones are like, what do I talk about? What do I say? And he wrote this book, and he had four things. They were simple phrases. One was, please forgive me. One is, I forgive you. The other was, thank you. And the last was, I love you. And these sentiments brought way to conversation that they could have. But why do we have to wait to say, I forgive you? Jesus said in Matthew 18, 21 and 22, then Peter came up and said to Jesus, Lord, how often shall my brother sin against me and I forgive him? As many as seven times? And Jesus said to him, I do not say to you seven times, but 70 times seven. What unforgiveness does, church, is it separates us from God, and it separates us from our loved ones. It separates us from each other. And may the Lord give us a heart that really would like to forgive, really would like to forgive. I want to forgive people. I don't want to hold grudges in. You know what happens when you hold your garbage in your garbage container? We have a place under our stairs. Thank God for cold winters. It all freezes. So this past week, Lonnie was working nights, and there's only just a few hours when he's up and awake where we get to eat and visit, and then he goes back to work. So we don't always haul the trash off, and it goes underneath the stairs outside. And little critters started to get in there and eat away at the trash. I don't know what it was. Hopefully not a squirrel. But in the summertime, if I don't haul that trash off every, day or every other day, it starts to stink really bad when you walk up and down the stairs. You walk in, it's like, oh, what's that? What's that odor? So I buy these like wreaths and brooms that kind of smell like cinnamon. I shove them under there and... Seriously, it just helps with the odor a little bit because I don't want it to stink when you walk up the front door. I want it to smell nice, like outside. Praise God. You know what? When we don't forgive, it's like holding on to all of our garbage. It starts to stink. And you know what? We'll notice it. Other people will notice it. And you know what? We're just not that pleasing to be around anymore. Help us, Lord. Praise God. And we want to forgive because in order to receive forgiveness from our great Lord, for our sins, if we want forgiveness, we need to forgive others. Forgiving others, you know what it does? It takes away some bitterness. And it takes away some. It takes away all of our bitterness. It takes away whatever thought of revenge or, man, if I had a chance to do that conversation over again, would I give it to them or what? Whatever, okay? It takes away that. It takes away that because that's a bad spirit. That spirit is not of God. Amen. That's a bad spirit. Marks 12, 29, 32 says, Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength. And the second is this, it was talking about the commandments or the great law, love your neighbor as yourself. There is no commandment greater than these. Praise God. He wants us to live in blessings. The Lord wants us to live in blessings. He wants us to be happy. He wants us to live a righteous life. So being blessed in Psalms 1 refers to that idea of happiness in living right. Amen. He doesn't want us to walk in the counsel of the wicked. In other words, we're careful who we get advice from. Let it be godly advice. Let it be the word of God. Let it be from a seasoned saint. Let it be from someone who you go to their door and you knock on their door and they know you're coming to ask for advice. they greet you because with the Kleenex box, and they've been praying and praying because they know that you're coming over for something that's very serious and dear to your heart. They've already touched heaven for you. Praise God. He does not stand in the path of sinners, but he's careful who he hangs out with, you know? He does not sit in the seat of the scornful. He does not express, this is scorn, which means contemptuous ridicule or mockery. Derision or contempt, a feeling that a person is beneath consideration or worthless or deserving scorn. Help us, Lord. His delight is in the law of the Lord. And what do we delight in? Then we get to delight in something. We get to delight in his law, meditate on it. We think about it. We give God consideration. It keeps coming up through the day. Lord, when you said that in Micah, and man, that's going to come to pass in the New Testament. You know what? When I pray for my grandchildren, when I pray for my extended family, these things are going to come to pass. They're true. They're in your word. We keep coming back to the word of God. And when you're living like this in righteousness, it's really easy to live in a spirit of repentance and forgiveness. I'll just say it really is. And if you struggle with forgiveness, Psalms 1 tells you how to live right so that your spirit, your soul, your life can be prepared so that you can forgive other people. His fruit and leaves will not wither. And that doesn't mean that we're not going to age and get older. But it means that as long as we are delighting in God's law, we will always be part of his productive kingdom and work. His favored child, his. We have his attention. We have his adoration. We have his love. He prospers. Prosperous doesn't always mean financial, although wouldn't we like it? So we wouldn't, you know, we're just human. But the man that prospers, guess what? You're going to have good, godly friends. Praise God. You're going to, because you've listened to good, wise counsel, you've made good choices, you've got great friends, your workplace will be blessed. I know people that just because they are Pentecostal, God-serving, loving, their business is blessed. I would love it. I love it because God blesses those businesses, those workplaces, because you are there. Praise God. God will bless your marriage, your extended family relationships. Praise God. And perhaps the greatest blessing is you will have such a closeness with the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, such an intimacy with him that surpasses anything else that you could really, really want in this world, because that is something that you already have. Praise God. The blessings of the Lord have always been his original plan for you and me. Praise God. Contrary to what the world would want for us, they want us sick, they want us broke, they want us lonely, they want us sad, depressed, whatever. He wants to make us rich in every possible way in our life, in our health. Yes, he wants to bless your finances. Yes, he wants to bless your relationships, and especially bless his relationship that he has with you. It's almost like getting closer to heaven. We just draw closer to him. And he's already been there. It's not like he has a great way to go. He's there. So praise God. And in this delight in the Lord, this man understands that the one thing that will make him happy in life is delighting in the Lord, is delighting in him. It's rooted firmly to the one who gives all life, the Lord himself. Praise God. And then that person is going to be like a tree planted by a stream. This man, woman, is provided for. The tree is planted firmly. That means when the winds of this life come beating against your front door and tear off my beautiful fall decorations. No, seriously, they come and beat against your heart's door, your life's door, whatever it is. You know what? You're not going to fall over on your back and go, oh, I don't know what to do now. I think I just should give up. That's not the case, because you are going to be planted strongly by a stream of living water. You are provided for by the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And you will, the Bible says, a promise to you, you will bear fruit in its season. You will be useful in the kingdom of God. And don't let the devil say that you never will, because you already are. Praise God. Righteousness. I know it sounds like, okay, we're going to have a lesson on righteousness today, folks. 10 o'clock on Sunday morning. Righteousness is really living so that we are positioned before God for blessings, for prosper, for health, for just so many things. And it's intended for us to have this beautiful fellowship with God, this right living. Right at the very beginning, we remember, because of wrong living, that fellowship was broken in the Garden of Eden. And it's true in our life, when we have sin in our life, our fellowship with God is broken. So I think of a child who grows up in a house who is living in terrible dysfunction. However long the child lives in this house, they think that this life is normal, that this is normal, this is how everybody lives, until they experience something else. Then they realize that what they had been living in is terrible dysfunction. I should have never lived like this. It should have never been like this. The world is in terrible dysfunction. They think that sin is normal behavior, that it's just, that's just the way it is. They don't even have a thought or consideration that there could be anything wrong with it. Their conscience has been seared. And really, they're playing a deadly game. I know a lot of young people relate to games. They're playing a deadly game of eternal life is what they're playing. And they don't even realize it. But there's something so much better. There's a right, righteous relationship with the Creator. And that's what we desire today, a closer relationship with Him. I'm literally halfway through my notes. So I'm going to go right to the very last page. I'm not kidding. Okay, I'm going right to the very last page. James 2:8 in the Amplified says, "If, however, you are really fulfilling the law according to Scripture, you shall love your neighbor as yourself." That is, if you have unselfish concern for others and do things for their benefit, you are doing well. Let's do well, church. Let's do well, because our hope of eternity sheds a much brighter light to those who are looking for His appearing. 2 Timothy 4:8, and I'm going to close with this scripture. "Henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day, and not to me only, but unto all them also that love His appearing." Praise God. He's a great, big, wonderful God. Praise God.